because we have to understand that God expects us to have a heart of love. And we can't show love unless we have it. And so I have love. Well, we'll see. Now, I'm not trying to be cruel. But see, the problem is, okay, if you are hungry and someone prepares your favorite meal, what's some of the things you like to eat? Okay. So they prepared all of that for you. But in order for it to be beneficial, it has to be put in the right place. So you sit down, Pastor Jesse, and you have all this food, the ribs and the greens and everything, and you take the rib and you put it under your armpit. You have it. You're wearing it. But it's not beneficial because it ain't in the right place. And see, that's the problem with love. Some of us may have love, but it's not in the right place. And if it's not in the right place, it's of no benefit. And we're going to see that today. John 3, verse 16. For God did what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that, you know, we've read this so many times. So God so loved that he gave his only. God so loved that he didn't care what it was he had to give. All that mattered to him was that he so loved. See, if we so love, guess what we'll do? We'll give. And we won't concern ourselves with what it is that we are giving. God didn't care. He didn't stop and say, I don't know, this is the only son whom I loveth. I keep my son, give it for this world. My son's going to do everything that I tell him to do forever, throughout all eternity. These folks... My son's going to have to remind me that I love him. And I'm going to give my son? No, God didn't, none of that mattered to him. All that mattered was he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the purpose of love is so that someone doesn't perish, so that they have everlasting life. So when we refuse to show love, we're saying, I don't care if you die. And I could care even less about the quality of your life. And I know that's not the intent of anybody in here. If it was, it won't be by the end. Okay, I hope you're not tired of this scripture, because God's not tired of saying it or expecting to see it, but we're going to John 13. Jesus said, now I'm giving you a new command. He said, okay, we're doing something a little different here now. Love one another. The folks probably thought, that's not new. You already said that. Here's what's different. See, the old one was love your neighbor how? As yourself. And God knew that some of us don't know how to love ourselves. We beat ourselves up, and so we beat our neighbors up. But Jesus said, no, here's the principle, folks. Love one another just as I have loved you. So now all you have to do is remember how Jesus loves you and love in the same way. This is how all men will know that you are my disciples. Listen to this. Because you have such love for one another. Because you have it. So that's telling us God's expecting us to possess something. And that something he's expecting us to possess is love. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 13, the Amplified Bible. Yeah, it's another one of those love scriptures. He said, if I can speak in the tongue of men, the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love. See, before that, we just read where it said that you should have such love. Now it's saying, if we don't have it, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting divine will and purpose and understand all the secrets, the secret truth and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. A useless nobody. See, folks, just because you're inspired to love doesn't mean you have it. We need to understand that. See, we can be inspired to do different things, doesn't mean we've grabbed hold of it. We don't understand the principle. We haven't taken it as our own. Something just happened and that was our response. So we got inspired to do it. You see it happening in sports things all the time. Teams are bad, somebody gets a key player or something gets hurt, or you know, someone commits a flagrant foul. They get upset about it and it rallies them to a point where they win. Are they better? No. Did they have they gotten a better grasp of the game? No. Something happened that inspired a certain action. So that means every game something has to happen to a teammate to get them to play. Because they need that inspiration. Well, if you have it, you don't need the inspiration. You already have it. And if you have it, and it's just a part of you. I can't go anywhere apart from who I am. It comes out in my actions. Everywhere I go. Who I am is who I am. But no matter what I do, no matter how spiritual I think I am, if I don't have the true, pure, unadulterated love of God in me, I am a useless nobody. I'm nothing. And that's not my opinion. That's what God said. See, here's the thing. We've said this for 34, 35 years. When God wanted everybody to know why he started this ministry, he said there's a place where the love of God is. Well, folks, we need to understand what that means. And we don't. It's not a put down, it's just a fact. We don't. See, this place is a building, is it not? A building cannot love. A building cannot stretch out its arms and embrace. It's just bricks and mortar. It just stands here. That's it. But God said, this is a place where the love of God is evident. How can that be? A building can't love. Because the love of God is to be evident in you and me. Because when his love is evident in us and we come into this place, then this becomes a place where the love of God is evident. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyone, see, anyone come in, if everybody leaves here and someone wants to come into the building and you come open up and let them come in, they're just going to be inside the building. That's it. Fill it with believers who are filled with the love of God. When they come in, they feel something different. They're not the building that it's not the building that they're feeling. They're feeling the love of God that's in each and every one of us. The love of God that's deposited and growing in the right place. Not under our armpit, like a rib. Okay. But it's in the right place, and if it's in the right place, it can do the most good. If it's not in the right place, what good is it? I mean, this microphone won't work for me if it's sitting over there on the pew. It has to be around my ear. Then it can work because it was designed to be here in order to function properly. The love of God in us is designed to be in a specific place so it can work properly. When I woke up Thursday morning, I woke up hearing, let it not be the plaiting of the hair, wearing of apparel. I'm like, I know that verse, Lord. Why are you telling me this? Look up the rest of it. And I said, oh, I got it. He said, look up the rest of it. Yes, sir. I will look it up. And I punched it up. And he said, read every translation. So I did. And he told me to share the Amplified version with you. Let not yours, this is 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, out of the Amplified Bible. Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair. So it's not just because you have a good weave. Okay. Hey, it's right here. I didn't say it. Okay. The wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes. But let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. Very precious. It's not your external presentation that impresses God. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in the seat of divine influence? It's your heart. See, the love of God doesn't need to be in our head. Because the scripture doesn't say out of the abundance of your head, your mouth speaks. It says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And since you will have whatever you say, out of the abundance of the heart, you will act. What's in you is going to come out, and I'm going to show you that in the Word in a minute. But look at Matthew 6. Because I was looking at this through one eye around midnight. I'm just being honest. I was up until about 3:20 or so, I think. Because we went to Sight and Sound and saw the production of Moses. And it was one of the best outings ever. Just the whole atmosphere was great, loving. But I read this scripture numerous times, and I know all of us have. But around midnight, I saw something different. It made me open both eyes. Okay. It did. I read it, and then I was wired after that. And I'm only going to read verse 20 for the time's sake. I'm not going to paint the picture. If you want to know what was going on up to that point, you'll have to read the chapter. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Here it is, folks. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in heaven, where's your heart? Okay. So what you treasure will have your heart. Or you could say, if it's in your heart, you'll treasure it. What does treasure mean? Valuable, precious. All of you are right. Anything or any person greatly valued or highly prized. God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. That God so treasured the world, right? So here's the question, folks. Why won't we treasure love? That's the question. Why won't we treasure love? Because when we treasure love, love will be in our hearts. Because where our treasure is, so will our hearts be. So if our treasure is in love, our hearts will be in love. And if our hearts are in love, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the body acts, all of our conversation, everything that we say to anyone, and everything that we do will illustrate, I love you with the love of the Lord. And we won't concern ourselves about anything else because there won't be anything else in us that we treasure. But we're not treasuring love, because when you treasure love, there's some stuff you have to go through. But if you treasure love, you're not going to focus on that. You're not going to focus on what the object does. You're just going to focus on the object of your love. How many of you remember the scripture that said love covers a multitude of sins? Love covers. What does it mean when it's covered? Yeah, it's not seen. It's not seen. So we have this thing backwards. We make sure everybody sees what someone has done to us. We make it a point. And then we wonder, we come to church and we'll look around and say, God, you said the people will come and the money will come. And God has said, I'm still waiting for the love of God to be evident. I'm still waiting. The people will come. The money will come. I have them lined up. All I have to do is take the chain off to let them know you can come through. But he's not going to move the chain. He's not going to move the stanchion until we become a place where the love of God is evident in everybody. Regardless of what they look like or how they act. We have to get to that place because that's what God expects. God expects us to treat people as being precious, because that's what they are to him. So I have written down here, so here's the question: why won't we treasure love? Why won't we let it fill our hearts? Proverbs 4, Voice Translation. Let's start at verse 20. It says, "My son, pay attention to all the words I am telling you. Lean in closer so you may hear all I say. Keep them before you, meditate on them, set them safely in your heart." Why do you say safely? To make sure nothing happens to them. "For those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to their bodies." And then he says, "Above all else, watch over your heart. Diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and noble things of life." What kind of heart? Sincere and pure. Well, if God's love is perfect, and we don't have perfect love in our hearts, how can our hearts be sincere and pure? They can't. So if we, how many of you want sincere, pure hearts? And we have to allow the love of God to have free reign. See, how many of you are familiar with Mark 11:23? Yep. What is it? Good chapter, good verse on what? Faith, right? There's a principle here. He said, "Lord, here's fast again with another principle." We need to understand the principles, folks, because principles work in all situations. If we understand the principle, it will work. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt" where? "In his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." And "shall not doubt" in his heart means we can say "I love you" and not really mean it, because we have some doubts about you. We need to think about that. I have some doubts about you. So yeah, I'll do the Christian thing and say, "I love you guys. I'm keeping my distance. I'm keeping my eye, because I'm not so sure you guys are worthy of the love of God in me. I mean, this is for special folk. These are for folk that have done some things. They've done great things for God. And so if I'm going to pour myself out, I'm going to make sure that you're worthy." Wrong. If Father took that attitude, all of us would be on our way straight to hell. Because there's absolutely nothing that we could do to keep us worthy. I mean, if we wrote down everything we did during the day that would cause us to have to repent and ask forgiveness, would be, "Oops, oh, I repent, God. I'm sorry for that thought. Oops, oh, I repent, God. I'm sorry for that thought. Oops, oh, I repent, God." We'd get nothing. We wouldn't even make it out of the bedroom. We have to, folks, we have to think about this. See, remember I said earlier that love must be resident in a specific place? Well, it can't be under your arm. All right. If it's not in the right place, it can't be properly displayed. Look at Romans 5. Because, see, God put it someplace and he expected it to stay there. This is the English Standard Version. And I apologize, but anytime God gives me a scripture, he requires me to read it in every English translation. And then he says, use that one. And he very rarely says use the King James Version. But I guess he's using versions that we can really understand immediately what he's saying. So listen to Romans 5, verse 5 in the English Standard Version. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Where was God's love poured? So when the love of God came, he made sure it was placed in the right place. It was put in the right place. He had it poured into our hearts. Why didn't he have it poured into our head? Because he knew, see, if it's poured into your head, something can happen and knock it out of your head. But if it's poured into your heart, if it's poured into the sphere of divine influence, and we allow it to stay there and become the abundance of our heart, guess what will always come out of us? The love of God. But we have to make sure that we keep it where he put it. There's a reason why he put it in our heart. See, here's how you know. Luke 4. I'm going to share this one in the King James, but I'm also going to share it in some other translations. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, verse 45, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Listen to the Worldwide English New Testament. You ever read that translation? You know, in online it says W-E. The we translation. A good man has stored up good things in his heart, so he will say good things. A bad man, say that's not me, a bad man has stored up wrong things in his heart, so he will say wrong things. The mouth will say what's in the heart. Now listen to the Phillips translation. A good man produces good things from the good stored up in his heart, and a bad man produces evil things and bad, well, that's bad English. But a bad man produces evil things from his own stores of evil. See, God's not going to give you evil to store up. You have to have your own storehouse of evil things. Listen to how this ends, according to the Phillips translation. For a man's words will always express what has been treasured in his heart. A man's word will always express what has been treasured in his heart. So when I hear folks walking around talking about these so-called Christians, I'm wondering what's stored up in their heart. When I hear every word out of your mouth is some form of judgment, I'm wondering what's stored in your heart. When I don't hear you say anything nice about anybody, I'm wondering what is stored in your heart. When all you do is talk about stuff that's gone wrong or been or done wrong to you, I'm wondering what's stored in your heart. Because if it were love, you wouldn't be talking about those things, because you would have forgiven them.
All right.
And you would have let them go.
But if we're talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, guess what? We haven't let it go. We haven't forgiven them. We have allowed something evil to be resident in our hearts. And we can no longer afford to do that. Because God has, you know, everyone know what an hourglass is? As far as we're concerned here, God has taken the hourglass and turned it over. And if we don't get it right, he'll bring people in here that will do it. But the ones who won't be here will be us. Not because we can't do it, but because we wouldn't do it. Look at what it says in Romans 12. I'm going to show you something. It's the Amplified Version, verse 9. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate that which is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. So Paul is telling us our love has to be real, not contrived and not convenient. It has to be real. That means, folks, we can't treat people any old way and then demand that they walk in love toward us. Yes, they're supposed to walk in love towards you even though you acted ugly. But sometimes we will say things and then get upset and complain. I've actually, as pastors, we've had complaints about folks. Yeah, I did such and such, but the Bible says they're supposed to walk in love. I'm like, what about you? You're supposed to walk in love too. And if you were walking in love, would this situation have happened? Then I don't understand. That's it. You don't understand. I say, no, I really do. I'm not condemning you, but I, as your pastor, I need to let you know that everybody has to walk in love. Everybody. We can't just look for it when we've done something wrong. You know, it would always amaze me. Folks would do something wrong, and then they want to dictate how you're supposed to handle them. It would have been great if I could have done that growing up, but it didn't seem to work. Real love is summarized in 1 Corinthians 13. Again, I'm going to do this in the Message Bible because the Message Bible just lists it quickly. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Actually, you could say it isn't ever me first. You may want to grip somebody's hand on this one. Go and tell them, it's all right. Love doesn't fly off the handle. And the whole congregation said, okay. Love does, it doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. That doesn't mean say, see, that's what you get. If God took that attitude with us, love takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. You know what that means? Love takes pleasure when we see the fruit of truth in you. Love takes pleasure in that. So if it takes pleasure when it sees the truth, love must be sad, must hurt, must not like it when you're in trouble. Because that's not what love wants for you. Oh, okay. Hold both neighbors' hands. Okay. Everybody breathe in. Slowly exhale. Okay, you ready? Love puts up with anything. Pure, sincere, godly love puts up with anything, and you can put slash or anybody. See, love doesn't have to teach you how to hug a porcupine. You know why? Because love won't allow you to see anyone as a porcupine. Love will allow you to see everyone as a big, fluffy teddy bear. Because it always believes the best of everybody. So how can you be a porcupine? How can you be, you know, crass if I'm believing the best in you? You can't. But that's what love does. Trust God always. Always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going on to the end. Okay. All right, Pastor, I'm beginning to feel you on this. But how do I make the love of God real? How many would you like to know that? Oh, not everybody? I think somebody said it. What did you say? Live it. Yeah. You want to make the word love real? You have to do it. That's what brings life to anything. You do it. I mean, I've got to ask you something, okay? See, this is what we do. Where's Jeremy? Where's Jeremy? I need Jeremy. You got to pretend you don't know him. You've never seen him before in his life. Right? He just comes walking in. Right? First of all, every single host would have attacked him by now. Okay. Come over here, young man. Okay. Now, he comes in. Okay. Now, I have some choices to make because I know nothing about him, but in looking at him, I think I know everything about him. So what I do, you know, and I'm the pastor, okay? God sent him here so that his life could be changed. But I see the way he comes in, and I go from pastor okay I do a transformation and I now become his judge and I start looking, what's up with the hat? And it's been, don't you know where you are? You just come walking up in here like any old thing. This is a church, man. I'm the pastor. You better get your life or you know you're going straight to hell. What's the matter with you?
You going?
What's the matter with you? Host, get him out of here. Or you'll pass by him on the street. Put on your judge uniform and start making. Feel like Carol Burnett. I know what's going on behind me. We'll make judgments based on his appearance. We're not even trying to see what's in his heart. We don't. Matter of fact, we don't even want to get that close. Because we think he's going to pull out something and hurt us. Because after all, we've seen people like him on television. Usually on the First 48 or Crime 360. I mean, that's, and we'll just start judging just because of his appearance. And we wonder why the people aren't coming. See? We want everybody to come in here. Come here, Brother James. Okay. Now, this is how you come to God. Okay? This is how you come. You're in a suit. Look at the shine on his shoes. Clean shaven. Look, I mean, this. Come on. Who wouldn't want him in his church? You want a church filled with this, not this. Okay? Because you are looking at the outward appearance and you are judging his heart. Okay? Yeah, he wants to give. Eager to display the attributes of a godly man. Now I ask you, what's wrong with this picture? Nothing. And that needs to be your attitude. Nothing. This is a young man that God so loved that Jesus died for him. And instead of condemning him, instead of judging him because we don't like the way he looks, how about having the same love and compassion for him that God does? How about wanting to see him come into the full measure of the man God destined him to become? And we all have a part in that. But we're too busy playing Here Come the Judge. And will not love, even though it's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, even though we confess every time we teach, for God so loved the world, even though we talk about we have faith that can move mountains. But the scriptures say, even if you do and you don't love, you're nothing. And me, I'm tired of God seeing us as nothing. See, we are selective lovers. And we'll choose this over this. Selective. We have to learn that we are required by God to love everybody equally. Equally. And when we start doing that, this place will be overflowing with people. Do you realize how many hurting people are out there? See, and what you don't know, because after all, you don't even want to be seen talking to him, because, I mean, look at his color, you think he might get shot because it's got to be a gang member. I mean, but what you don't know is that goes into the neighborhoods, takes whatever money he has, goes to McDonald's, gets some things from the dollar menu, and goes out and feeds the homeless and the hungry, just like he is. Why? Because that's how he is. So what? His generation dresses like this. Not my style, But my generation had a style. If I showed you some pictures, you wouldn't want me to pastor anymore. I didn't always have this nice, neat hairdo. I had Jerry curls. Now even he's judging me. I did. I sat in a beauty salon with curlers in my hair so I could have Jerry curls. Had the activator stuff you put in. And I was strutting around. Why? Because everybody, if they're honest with themselves, everybody wants to be accepted. And it was a time in my life, it was a 7-month period like in my life when I took up the attitude, it's all about me. Yet I wanted to belong to a group that normally I wouldn't even been bothered with. But my whole world had just crumbled to pieces. So I replaced it. So I had to change my look. I had guys that would, yeah, they would suit me up. Yeah, Footsie, you're this. Yeah, Footsie, yeah, you're our enforcer. You got to be there. We can't win. I'm like, yeah, I know. I mean, that's what it was. So I was playing a role. And it's hard to live like that. It really is. It's hard on folks, and they believe this is the life. It's hard. They don't know that there's another life. And we're speaking figuratively here because Jeremy knows. Okay. Okay. He knows. He knew that God was the answer, but he wasn't around pastors that would love him until God sent him to Pastor Jesse. And that was his last shot before giving it up totally. His last one. That's what he had said, right? Yep. That was it. Because folks wouldn't love him the way he was. How many of you eat fish with the scales and intestine on it and the intestine still in it? You know? Well, how many of you eat fish? So what do you do? You mean you don't put the, you know, it doesn't come out of the water, cleaned up and dressed and you have to do some work? Yeah, you got to get, when you're cleaning it, guess what? Sometimes those scales and things pop on you. When you're pulling all of its intestines out, you got to be very, very mindful because if you break that bile sac, then you have some bitter fish.
Yeah.
Right? You got to get your hands in the stuff to pull it all out so that it's fit for consumption. We're willing to do that with fish. Folks, hunters are willing to do that with animals. They go out there, they'll kill a moose and gut it right there. Yeah, okay, he does it with deer. God bless him. Okay. You do that. Why? Because you want what is valuable. Is not he more valuable than some Chilean sea bass? I mean, we need to think about that. We need to think about that. Believers are not, folks, there's no sea that God is going to send us to that we're going to catch unbelievers that are spotless. If they were spotless, they wouldn't need us. Okay. They're going to come with stuff.
Yeah.
And they need pastors. They need brothers and sisters in Christ.
They need the full fivefold ministry to get in there and do help him do the spiritual cleanup that he needs to be done. See, he will clean himself up. We don't need to take the knife and gut him. He'll do it himself. Why? Because he's experienced the pure, real love of God. And he can't live without it. You understand? Okay, we have to take off the robe of judge. We're not the judge. We're children of God, just like he is. God sees no difference between Jeremy or James. God is not going to say, I can't use him because I don't like the way he's dressed. We need to be mindful about this self-righteous attitude that some of us have and have adopted. New Testament doesn't support it. We can have a preference. I have a preference. Nobody's sticking a hole in my ear. That's just me. That's my preference. That's the way I was raised. I was raised, girls wear earrings. I mean, that's the way I was raised. And guess what? I don't be a girl. So I wasn't wearing any earrings. Yeah, see? but that's what it is. They won't know what you said.
See, the way that I was raised, it made us look good.
Yeah.
You know, the fashion, the jewelry, the bling.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about, you know, women wear earrings.
Right.
It's whether the men could wear it better than the women.
See, and see, Jeremy just gave you the number one reason why men do some of the things that they do. They want to be attractive to the women. The women weren't going after men whose pants weren't falling down, had no earrings on, clean cut.
Nah, they was wet.
Yeah, right. I mean, they didn't do that. Walking down the street drinking a 40. No, they didn't talk to them. If they didn't use different names other than young lady. You know, didn't go with the nice respectable stuff, but things that we considered degrading. You know, they said, no, they don't want to talk to him.
Hey.
Right. Yeah. we were taught how to ask for a telephone number. Now it's just.
Take hey, Sade, let me get your number.
See? Yeah. I mean,
that's what it is.
So is he less worthy of the love of God because he was in a different generation? Do you understand, folks? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, James. Yeah, he's laying it all on the altar. That song, lay down your burdens, I'm at the altar. Folks, I'm finishing up. I appreciate you staying and allowing us to hear all that God has for us today, because this it's just too important. I'm going to read you these few things. And then I'm going to unhook, I promise. A heart filled with love is what God told me to tell you. Okay. He told me to read the whole thing to you. I was going to make it short. Not that it's much longer. How many, well,
nobody here does this.
Okay.
But you can go into certain portions of this city, of Manhattan, of Queens, and you know you can actually buy bootleg DVDs. Heavens, no. And the funny part about it is that somehow some of these bootleggers are so good, they get the artwork for the original packaging. So when you see it out there, it looks like the real deal. It looks like it. Then you pop it in. Got somebody's thumbprint, I guess, on there. Or I don't start calling out different things because you'll be exposing yourself. Okay. But somewhere along the line, the quality is not there because it's bootleg. It's not the real deal. We have to stop putting forth bootleg love. Has the right package, but it's poor quality because it's not the real thing. A heart filled with love doesn't point its finger at someone else. A heart filled with love treasures the other person. A heart filled with love doesn't focus on what has happened to it or what it has to endure. And a heart filled with love doesn't judge. 1 Peter 4:8 in the Amplified Bible says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offense of others. It's not about stuff and things. It's not about attitudes, wisdom, or positions. It's not about what you went through, not about who hurt you. It's not about your ideas or what the church should or shouldn't do. It's all about the love of God that was shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost having full reign in your heart and not your head. You are the only one. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you are the only one who can choose whether your heart be filled with the love of God or something else. Father, I thank you. Give you all the glory and honor and praise, Lord. Thank you for making it so clear to us to let us know just how you expect us to love. Father, we stand in front of you excuseless. From this moment on, we have no excuse. We will walk in love. We will speak in love. Everything we do will demonstrate the pure, unfeigned love of God that has filled our hearts to the place, to the point where there's no room in our heart for anything else. Thank you, Father, for revealing yet another hindrance to our momentum. We want what you want for this ministry. You told us you'd make this place greater than the church in Seoul, Korea, if we let you. We repent, Lord, for being stubborn in our traditions and thoughts and not allowing you to do what you want to do in this place. Thank you, Father. From this moment on, we are going to walk and talk and act fully like we are the Redeeming Love Christian Center. And this facility is filled with people who are filled with your love, and it will always be evident within the walls of this place. And wherever the members of this place go, You had me say it once before. We're like the mythical Pied Piper, where folks are going to follow the love tunes emanating from us right back to this place where they can be trained and go out and do the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for all those folks that you're sending here that need to be loved. We say, send them all, Lord. Send them all. Here we are, your humble servants, and we will receive them properly and never judge them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Wow.